Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic and professor emerita at Gonzaga University.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that took a short break so that some of us could catch what might be called our respective aesthetic appreciation breaths, or not. At any rate, that break meant that we're a bit late in our discussion of a couple of recent films, the title of which are The Fall Guy and Sasquatch Sunset. The first has Ryan Gosling playing a movie stuntman whose fate is embodied in the film's very title. And the second is a curious little fable/fantasy about a Bigfoot quartet traipsing through the woods of Northern California. Both are available to stream through a variety of services. Let's begin with a love letter to stunt crews everywhere, courtesy of stuntman-turned-director David Leitch. Leitch's resume includes both 82 credits as a stuntman and 12 as a director, the latter list including 2022's Bullet Train and Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. The Fall Guy was inspired by the 1980s television show produced by the late television writer-producer Glenn A. Larson and was written by Drew Pearce. It stars Ryan Gosling as the has-been stuntman Colt Seavers, whose one-time reputation as being the best in the business, along with his short-lived romance with the director wannabe Jody Moreno, played by Emily Blunt, was cut short by a serious on-set accident. Years and more than a few beers later, Colt is invited back, this time to be part of the first movie that Jody is now directing. Things aren't quite what they seem, though, both with the movie and with the romance, which is to be expected given the title's double meaning. Gosling again shows that he has a comic flair, and Blunt is always worth watching. And for a summer movie, The Fall Guy is, overall, a diverting, if a bit long, 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Well, I just saw that the version of this movie that is now available to rent, despite the fact that this movie's only been in theaters for a few weeks.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre?
But the at-home version is apparently 20 minutes longer
than the version in the theaters.
I wonder if it was some kind of selling point, maybe, to get people to cough up the $20 it costs to rent it at home.
Maybe.
But I agree. I think if The Fall Guy were brisker and had maybe been written a little more tightly, or even, you know, 100 minutes, I think I'd be more enthusiastic about it. I think it does kind of wear out its welcome a little bit. But this movie has kind of become something of a talking point on the internet and within film analyst circles, because it did kind of kick off the summer movie season. Not with a bang, but with a whimper, because it underperformed at the box office.
Well, so is everything else, basically.
Well, but this movie, for some reason, suddenly became emblematic of the movie's dimming cultural impact, or, you know, the mainstream audience's apparent lack of taste. And I don't know why that is, why The Fall Guy was made an example of, but it seems to be hanging in there and people are still seeing it. And despite it being punted to streaming, it's making a little money at the box office still. But it's almost like, I don't know, movies need time to find their audience through word of mouth, or maybe people just don't have the time to go to movies on opening weekend all the time, especially when every media channel is so oversaturated with stuff. Maybe it's just harder for the good stuff to get through. So I just encourage people to not automatically assume a movie is a flop because it doesn't blow up right away. But back to the movie as a movie, The Fall Guy. You even used this phrase, Dan, in your intro, but I've seen a lot of the writing around this film as a quote-unquote love letter to stuntmen. In fact, I think when I saw this at the AMC, which is where I would say if you're going to see The Fall Guy, see it on a big screen. But David Leitch even came out and said, this is our love letter to stunt performers. And I think my big problem with the film is that I don't think it showcases the stunts enough, even though it is about a stunt man and we see a lot of it happening on screen. It wasn't until the end credits of this movie where I really thought, oh, they really were doing a lot of these stunts. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think this is emblematic of big budget action filmmaking right now, there's so much editing and so much CGI that I didn't believe that a lot of these stunts were really happening. I thought, oh, they must have just fixed that in post. But then you get to the end credits and there's all of these bloopers and, you know, behind the scenes footage. And you see, oh, they actually did all of these stunts. And it made me wish that the movie, The Fall Guy itself, had a more unvarnished style And it made me long for, you know, the old Jackie Chan movies, mm-hmm. or even like the movies that Hal Needham used to make. Or if you want a more contemporary reference, even the John Wick movies.
I was waiting for that one.
Yeah, which I think was directed by a stuntman. Hal mm-hmm. Needham used to be a stuntman. And I think those films have more of a sense of the artistry that goes into these stunts, where, you know, they'll pull back so you can see, oh, wow, they actually did that in front of the camera. And I think it gets lost a little bit in the way that the film is made and edited. Well, so good. I was happy that they showed that footage at the end to show, like, no, we really
that's
had
only
gonna
get
people
worse.
Doing that, you know?
It's only going to get worse and worse, particularly when they blend in AI.
I sort of wish that Leach, as a former stuntman himself, had, you know, thought, we actually captured these stunts for real. Let's use that footage instead of, you know, making it look like just any other blockbuster where mm-hmm. they did this in front of a green screen or with CGI people.
Mm. Well, I'm going to say that I enjoyed The Fall Guy a lot. Although I had different problems with it because I really liked Ryan Gosling. I liked Emily Blunt's character. I didn't find their romance to really be believable. Mm. And so that was sort of off-putting to me. But I think in the end, they sort of pulled it off. And I think that it was an homage to other movies, to stunt performances and so forth. And it was funny at different points. And it was just sort of the rushing around, the behind the scenes, like all of the different people who were involved in making even the most simple car accident or whatever happen. I mean, we have some awareness of that just from going to these film festivals and hearing people talk about it and so forth and so on. But I'm not sure that everyone would appreciate fully all that goes into making a movie. And The Fall Guy did bring that to the fore. And I thought that some of the supporting performances were entertaining. I liked Aaron Taylor Johnson, who plays Tom Ryder, who's the big movie star. I thought he was really funny.
Tom Cruise?
Boy, somebody who either helped write this movie or make this movie, maybe David Leitch himself, clearly has a grudge against Tom Cruise because this movie is almost a Tom Cruise diss track,
to use
the parlance of the day.
Well, I know that he was the stunt double for Brad Pitt. I don't know about Tom Cruise, but you never know.
Maybe a little bit of
both. But I thought that whole plot line was funny. And I did like the British woman who played the...
Hannah Waddingham, who played Ted Lasso.
Right,
Ted Lasso,
the Joanne Lumley. I thought it was Joanne Lumley for a while
See, the problem I had, it's 2 hours and 6 minutes long, and there was a lot that could have been cut out. In fact, I was disappointed that in the first half hour, first 45 minutes, there were these long stretches of exposition, and it was like introducing this stupid storyline.
Well, it's like a mystery.
Do you
really care?
Well, the underlying movie was ridiculous.
Oh,
yeah.
Metal Storm?
Right.
Yeah. The movie they're making.
Well, I would have liked to have seen that rather than
some of the stuff. Oh, I don't know about that.
But going back to the essentials, Ryan Gosling is really on a high right now. I mean, when he was in the Barbie movie, obviously, he's shown before this he can carry comedy. In fact, I like him as a comic actor much more than I do as a dramatic actor. So he's good. And Emily Blunt is good.
What about The Notebook?
Yeah, please. You know, I just had lunch, so let's not bring up that. There was a lot to like about The Fall Guy. I just didn't love it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think what I said to you after I saw this was, you know, that was a fun night out at the
movies. That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a solid piece of entertainment. And I also liked the fact that you have these two big stars in Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. And I actually thought they did have chemistry. And they certainly have charisma to spare.
Right, right.
And they're both funny.
Right, think that I've seen them on some talk shows. And I think maybe it was just the way that they were supposed to have this sort of love-hate relationship, you know, in this film that maybe downplayed the chemistry.
Yeah, maybe it could have been amped up a little bit. I mean, maybe a lot of the movie could have been amped up a little bit. But it sort of reminded me, it's almost a throwback in a way to a lot of the comedy blockbusters that I liked when I was a kid. You know, I was thinking of like the era of John McTiernan, especially something like Last Action Hero, which is that sort of self-referential kind of movie within a movie. Even I think it has a lot in common with the movies of Shane Black, which of course Ryan Gosling was in Shane Black's film The Nice Guys, and I think there's overlap here. Another thing I kind of wanted to complain about was just in terms of the current state of comedy in films, this movie can't just be funny or satirical. It has to comment on the fact that it's being satirical. Right.
I understand what you're saying. It's as though the filmmakers don't respect the audience enough for us to get it.
Yeah, like there's this really nice scene between Gosling and Blunt that's in split screen where their actions are mirrored on either side of the screen. And it's not enough for that scene to play out, which it's a really nice scene between them. And there's nice choreography happening there. But they have to call out the fact that they're in split screen and they're doing this. And it's just like, we don't need that. It would have worked without it. So that's a nitpick. But, you know, for the most part, I did think that give it a few more exciting stunts and tighten up that script a little bit, you would have had something really, really good here.
I like how you talk about your criticism as nitpicking.
Wasn't that what we do here?
That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. That's what we expect. Yeah.
In any event, that was our look at The Fall Guy. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to discuss Sasquatch Sunset. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I took on David Leitch's film, The Fall Guy. Let's now turn to a film, fable, fantasy, co-directed by the brothers David and Nathan Zellner from a script by David Zellner. That script, titled Sasquatch Sunset, is about as accurate and informative as the movie itself, which features the likes of Jesse Eisenberg, Riley Keough, Christoph Zajac Denik, and David Zellner himself, all costumed like individual Sasquatch creatures. We watch as the quartet meanders through the woods, the movie was filmed just outside of Humboldt, California, and two, over mountains and plains, all in search of, well, other than something to eat, nothing much, except maybe others of their species. What they find is lots of nature, but also, strange to them, human encroachment on what likely has been, for some unclear time, their own personal garden of wonder and at times danger. The Zellners fill their collection of scenes with a few humorous sequences, as you can imagine, with decent actors such as Eisenberg grunting, miming, and aping throughout the film's not quite 90-minute running time. But it could have used even more laughs, which might have given the film's final serious moments that much more meaning.
I did not want to see Sasquatch Sunset because I really don't find anything about the Sasquatch myth, dare I say that, appealing. My apologies to the Spokane Community Colleges because I know this is the mascot. But so I went into this very begrudgingly, and actually I liked it, and I thought that it was sort of telling us things on multiple levels. So at the very basic level, you know, it's about these creatures who are trying to make their way in the world, and they have these different relationships to one another. Riley Keough, I mean, they're all covered up. They're these,
you can't, you know, recognize
hairy,
them.
No.
You know, creatures or whatever. But you could still see the Riley Keough character, who's the mom. She has this kid who's like nursing, although I think he's like 24. But you can just see the sort of desperation and resignation and frustration in her eyes. And then it's very scatological humor, so very sophomoric in that respect. And at one point, I was really not a fan of that sort of humor. But I think over the years with South Park, Mr. Hanky Poo, and so forth,
they beat you down.
They beat me down. So I thought Jesse Eisenberg, again, you know, there's no dialogue in this entire movie. It's just grunting and, ooh, ooh, you know, and different sound effects and so forth. But it really is a story. It doesn't appear to be such, maybe initially, but it is a story about these creatures and their relationship with one another. And it's also about their relationship with the world in which they find themselves. And so, you know, it has this whole like nature environmental theme that comes through in Sasquatch Sunset. But, you know, if you just sort of take it for what it's worth, and again, it's streaming right now, so you can enhance your experience with whatever you think might be appropriate, maybe to appreciate it more fully. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good time, and I'm surprised to say that.
You could go out and eat some red berries and then have an hallucinogenic experience.
Yeah, maybe that was my problem, because I had a nice cup of coffee while I watched this. That was
no,
my
stimulant. Wrong beverage. Wrong beverage.
Maybe that was a mistake on my part. Yeah, Sasquatch Sunset kind of feels like it was designed for a midnight crowd at a film festival.
Yes, exactly. And it was at Sundance.
Yes, I know this premiered at Sundance, and I believe it played like gangbusters there, meaning half of the audience ate it up and the other half
walked out. Yeah.
And it's clearly that kind of provocation, at least in the first half. And I think you're underselling how disgusting this movie is.
Maybe
and
I've just become a nerd to it, like violence.
Because that kind of humor is just not my favorite. And that's kind of all the first half of Sasquatch Sunset is. I mean, it's every bodily fluid you can imagine. And it's just being sprayed across the screen by these mythical beasts. And the whole time, I mean, the biggest laughs I was getting out of it was just from the fact I was like, it's hilarious to me that Oscar-nominated actor Jesse Eisenberg is under that costume. And there are shots of their faces, like you said, where you're like, yeah, I guess that is Jesse Eisenberg. I can kind of make out his eyes, but I would have had no clue. Mm-hmm. If I had gone in not knowing that it was him, I never would have guessed. I liked this movie, though, when it does make that swerve halfway through and it does become more serious and it becomes almost a drama about man's encroachment mm-hmm. on nature. And at the beginning of the movie, the Sasquatches, their biggest threats are all in nature. You've got apex predators, you've got the poisonous plants, weather, even other Sasquatches. And then in the second half, all of their threats are man-made in various ways. And so I actually found myself really kind of contemplating the plight of the Sasquatch by the end of it, even though in the first half I was just like, let's get this over with. And I was looking through the Zellner's filmography, and there's a 4-minute short film somewhere deep in their filmography that's called Sasquatch Birth Journal 2, which is exactly
because
like
that,
it sounds.
That title just rolls off the tongue.
And I'm guessing that was sort of a test
for teaser.
This. I guess the closest thing I can compare this to is like a movie like Quest for Fire from the early 80s, which was all these—
Ray Don Chong.
Yeah, and Ron Perlman is in that, and it's all of these cavemen, and they're just grunting, and they have their own language. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like that, but— But, yeah,
well,
with that streak
of
South
of the
Park
Apes?
Humor. Well, they spoke English in a lot of that, so
they could. They
well,
did
in the first one,
wow.
at least.
Do you remember that? I was really surprised when I looked back at David Zellner. He directed Kumiko, the Treasure Hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
That one about the Japanese
was
woman
that
who was looking.
Robert Pattinson.
I don't believe so. No,
no it's
that
with,
was the woman
Rinko Kikuchi.
Rinko Kikuchi,
and she goes
she
off looking for the treasure that's
that
buried at the end of Fargo.
In Fargo, yes,
yeah, because she
Remember?
Thinks it's a true story. It's,
yeah,
the movie itself was based on a real event.
Yeah, yeah.
She saw the movie Fargo, which claimed to be based on a true event and was not, and she went looking mm-hmm. for this treasure that Steve Buscemi buries at the end. And
I just
I remember what Robert Pattinson was in that film, Damsel.
Oh, they directed that too.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah. So, I mean, they've got a really unusual.
Very unusual.
And they were and
Wait,
they were part
shall
of
Shall we say eclectic?
I would say so. And they were part of the mumblecore movement back with like the Duplass brothers and Greta Gerwig and those folks. And so they have this very offbeat way of making movies.
But this is offbeat, offbeat. Sasquatch Sunset is a film. My big problem with it is that it tries to say certain things. But I don't think it ultimately says anything. It's just a collection of scenes that are together, many of which might be Saturday Night Live skits, you know, and some of it is you don't want to watch it because it's scatological, or maybe you do want to watch it because it's scatological. And then ultimately they try to end up with this thought, oh, humans encroaching. And, you know, what is the whole scene? They go around every once in a while and start banging on trees. Are you out there? Are there other Sasquatch out there?
Well, see, I was not a huge fan of Sasquatch Sunset either. I should just make that plain. It's the kind of movie that you can't recommend to just anybody.
No, wait a minute. How could I end up being the advocate for this
Absolutely.
Film?
I don't know.
This is the ultimate irony.
Well, but yes. I will say, though, there are moments in this film where there, and again, there's, as you said, there's no spoken dialogue. I mean, they have a dialogue, but we don't understand it because
right.
it's grunts and guttural noises. But they start banging on trees with big sticks. And the thing I liked about that, I like when a movie sort of gives you details about a world that you don't understand without explaining it. So
yeah.
you're just kind of left to wonder, what is it that they're doing? It made it feel a little bit more real where not everything is explained to you. So I kind of like that. It was like actually watching a nature documentary, but without, you know,
exactly.
David Attenborough
yeah.
talking
over
it. But
the thing is, yeah. they actually had their own personalities and temperaments.
Yeah.
I mean, that was sort of a slow reveal because at first you're like, who's that one? Is that,
yeah, yeah.
is that
yes.
supposed to be the mom? Like,
why
I don't
that
even
one
know.
So
right.
mean?
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Why is that one so small? Why is that? And then you kind of start to figure out, I guess, what their relationship
and
is.
I like
and
the
then
cinematography.
Then there's the baby.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
The baby Sasquatch looked a little bit like, remember that movie Annette with the singing wooden puppet that was
yes,
the little girl?
Yes.
Like, it kind of
yeah,
looked like that.
Yeah, that. I agree. That was a miss, I think. But I like the cinematography. I mean, there were some real shots that gave you the impression of, you know, how these creatures were bound together and that yet they were alone and they were in this wilderness and they were just trying to make their way in the world and so forth. And I thought it was filmed really beautifully in different points, but Dan's laughing. I don't know. I must have.
I guess I'll say this about Sasquatch Sunset. If during this conversation you had the thought, that sounds like a movie I think I would like. You might like, you probably will. If it sounds like a movie that you would rather watch anything else but see it, then maybe stick with that,
that first impulse.
I just wish it had been funnier, you know? The humor for me ran out pretty quickly.
Sounds so. Like you thought it was pretty funny.
I did. But, you know, I'm going to be the advocate for Bad Boys.
Which we have not reviewed yet. And say what you will about this movie. It has a vision. And it commits to it.
Yeah.
Correct. To the
I like
bitter
that.
End.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, all right. At any rate, that was our discussion of Sasquatch Sunset, which Mary Pat really liked. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and early in the show, Nathan Weinbinder, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discussed The Fall Guy. Let's take this moment to thank Cassia Fox for both producing and engineering the show. We thank you to our loyal listeners, and we invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer wherever we can find it, even in the woods around Humboldt, California. Until then, consider these words from the late, great Italian director Roberto Rossellini. I want you to know how deeply I wish to translate those ideas into images just to quiet down the turmoil of my brain. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.